Okay, so if you open up the Gemara in Mem Gimel and Beis, so the guys who are in the Agadat Tashir know this Gemara, but there is a nice little lumdish point that comes out of the Gemara. So you remember Rafi? So the Gemara says that David HaMelech was once in the bathhouse and he panicked. Right? He panicked. Why did he panic? Remember, Joel?
Why did he panic?
Because he said, Gewalt, I don't have any mitzvos, right? So if you look at the Gemara quickly, the Gemara, there's three lines up in the short lines, right, from the bottom of the short lines. Tan Rabbanan, Chaviv in Yisrael Shesivivan HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'mitzvot. We did this like 2 weeks ago. Right, the Jews are beloved because God surrounded them in mitzvot. Tefillin b'roshehen, they have tefillin on their heads. Tefillin b'zrodehen, tefillin on their arms. Tzitzit b'vigdehen, tzitzit on their clothes. Mezuzah l'petcheihen. And the mezuzah on their doors. David, I praise you for the 7 mitzvot that I have. Right, that's right, the 7 times I praise you. So David has this theory that the Jews are lucky; they're surrounded by mitzvot at all times. But that means that he panics because v'shash nichnas David levet hamerchatz v'ra atzma omed arum. So he went into the bathhouse. He saw that he was naked. And he's naked from all 7 of these. He doesn't have tefillin. He's naked, so he doesn't have tzitzis. There's no mezuzah because a bathhouse is pater from a mezuzah. Or just like a bathroom, a modern bathroom, right? You don't put a mezuzah on the bathroom. So he's completely bare of mitzvot. So, Omar, oili shemot arom below mitzvah. Gewalt, I'm standing naked without a mitzvah. V'keivan shenizkar bimila shebivsaro nijashva da'ato. But once he remembered that he had a mila, so he was calmed down. And so after he leaves, Amar Aleha Shira, he sang a song about his mila. Right? Yeah, I guess a bit of an interesting song, but singing for the eighth. Mizmor le David al midnash nidna bishmini. Praised is God for bris mila that was given on the 8th. So there is a halachic point that emerges from here, and that's what I want to focus on. And this is the following. If I'd asked you, what is the nature of the mitzvah of milah, what would you have said?
It's a mitzvah.
It's a state.
Yeah. I wouldn't have thought the mitzvah, that the concept of mitzvah just by being circumcised, yeah, mitzvah. I would think it's a mitzvah to actually do the action.
Good, right? So
it's a one-time thing.
Good. So you would have thought that the mitzvah of milah is a maisa mitzvah. You're chayev to circumcise yourself, right? Well, tzitzis is clearly every time I wear a beged, I'm chayev, right? But I would have thought that by milah, right? Tzitzis, maybe you'd say it's a mitzvah as long as I'm wearing it, but that's because I could take it off, I could put it back on. With milah,
can't really take it off.
Right? Now, in a chanami, the Gemara says that you have no chelik in olam haba if you're mefer bris. Now, mefer bris was probably a procedure that the Greeks did of that the Jews did in the time of the Greeks to reverse their circumcision. It's called the English is epispasm. Oh. Right, epispasm. I'll read you the official epispasm is, I just googled it, you get an article called Circumcision in Reverse. For centuries, Jewish boys have regularly been circumcised when they're 8 days old. An unusual challenge to circumcision developed, however, in the Hellenistic period, after about 133 BCE. Hellenistic and Roman societies widely practiced public nakedness, but they abhorred bearing the tip of the penis, called the glands. To expose the glands was considered vulgar, humorous, indecent, or both. This combination of attitudes could be and often was devastating for circumcised Jews. Enjoying oneself in a Greek gymnasium, a Roman bath, where nudity was de rigueur, was a popular and stylish pastime. Here politics was discussed, business deals concluded, athletic contests and exhibitions were also conducted in the nude. Participation in athletics was often a prerequisite for social advancement, yet a circumcised penis effectively precluded this participation. Consequently, for hundreds of years, some Jews underwent a surgical procedure known as epispasm, an operation that corrected a circumcised penis. Right? Some might call it circumcision in reverse. V'chule. Right? So it is, they did something, but obviously it doesn't actually reverse it, right? It would make it look like it was reversed. You would maybe take a little bit of skin, you would stretch it out, whatever they did exactly. And if you want to, right, look at the technical, very painful details of this, you are free to look at it. Right, part of it also was that the Greeks and the Romans celebrated sexuality, right, and this, which weakens the sexual organ, was a negative. But fundamentally, you can't really reverse it, and therefore you would have thought that the mitzvah of Bris Milah is a Maisa mitzvah. Or it's a Maisa mitzvah, not a state of being. Right? Not a mitzvah of a chalos, to be mahul. But if you look at this Gemara, right, this Gemara opens up the possibility that what? Right? Now, how would you understand this Gemara? Right? If you assume that the mitzvah of Bris Milah is just a mitzvah of in a Maisa, so then why is it that David is so, right, is relieved when he looks at his Bris Milah? So we have two options, right? One is to say that we're wrong, right? That in fact the mitzvah of Bris Milah is not to do the Maisa Milah, but what?
To be
Mahul, right? To be circumcised, and that's why there could even be such a category, right, of reversing the Milah, right? Because you have a constant mitzvah to be mahul, and if you try to reverse it, you're trying to be mevatel, not the original act, but you're trying to be mevatel, right? Your current chalos, right? As a mahul, as someone who is mahul. Or, what would the other way you could read this Gemara? It's a meaning.
It's a reminder.
No, correct. He's not saying that I'm being mekayim the mitzvah now. He's mekayim the mitzvah when he had the Bris Milah. But you're not naked from mitzvos if you have a milah, because if you're cognizant of what the milah reminds you of, so it means that you're still remembering, come up with something, right? Reminds you of God, whatever, right? Reminds you that God, that you're an Evan Hashem, that your very flesh is indicates that you've committed to God, right? It's not that it's a formal mitzvah, right? And that, I think, are the two ways of reading this Gemara. So the Marachor Zarua. Now, who's the Marachor Zarua? I gave you the whole Tshuva. I won't read all of it, right? But who is the Marachor Zarua?
Oh,
to the Or Zarua.
Tosfot on something that's filling.
Good. So the Or Zarua is, right, Rabbi Yitzchak of Vienna. Rabbi Yitzchak of Vienna. He's a Bala Tosfot. Why is it called Or Zarua?
Without a forearm, it doesn't have to put on tefillin.
He has a lot of shita. He's a very important Rishon. Yeah. He's a very important Rishon. Now, why is his sefer called the Or Zarua?
Is he from Provence?
He's not from Provence. He's from Vienna. Rabbi Yitzchak of Vienna. I just said he's from Vienna.
No, I
understand. Why is he called Or Zarua? Why does he call his sefer Or Zarua? No. Anyone know? Guys in my shir, I've said it before.
Oh, is this the Rabbi Akiva?
Very good. Thank you, Gavi. And for guys who haven't heard this, why is his sefer called Or Zarua? Because apparently he was bothered for his entire life by whether you spell Akiva with an aleph or a hey. And at some point in a dream, he realized that the secret lay in the Rashi Tevot of the Pasuk, Or Zarua Latzadik Lushrei Lev Simcha, which is Rebbe Reish Akiva with the Sofei Tevot is Rebbe Akiva with a hey, and therefore he knew the halachic way of spelling it was a hey, and he was so inspired by this moment that he named his book Or Zarua, and this was so deep in his family that his son Chaim, when he wrote his book, he called himself Chaim Or Zarua and wrote the Tshuvas Marach Or Zarua, which is Moreno Rab Chaim Or Zarua.
What do you mean the halachic way of spelling it? What does that mean? What halachic
math? Gittin, Ksubos.
Oh, okay.
Yes, the most boring part of Smicha is Shemos Begittin, where literally you sit there and figure out, one very prominent Rosh Yeshiva, very serious Talmud Chacham, would say he dropped out of Dayanus when he had to take the Shemos Begittin test, because it literally means taking hundreds and hundreds of names and memorizing them and how you're supposed to spell them, and if it's a non-Hebrew name originally, how do you transliterate it with an ayin? This was the worst part of Smicha, even the little bit Ksubos and Gittin.
Because it's important to spell words.
Correct, because you have to.
If you just spell their name again, it's invalid.
And then you
record everything.
Oh, it's really easy, because you can open up any of the Svarim and figure it out. But we have. It's this weird thing. It's a combination of two things. One is that there are set ways of transliterating, and the other is that when it comes to transliterating, and remember that's important for like Yiddish names, which people have like Mendel or something like that, right, which is a Yiddish name fundamentally. But it, with transliteration, it's a combination of these rules that we have for transliteration, plus the number one Trump rule is that whatever the first Besdin determined should be the name of the city, that's usually what we follow. So then you get bizarre things, like for a while, I don't know if they still do this, Mississippi, the halachic spelling was mem yud samach samach yud samach samach yud, which is ridiculous, right? And then you have a machlokis in Lakewood, whether it's lamid yud yud kuf vav 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 dalid or vav 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 aleph vav dalid, because they thought it was too weird. And then...
How many vavs in a row? Three?
Three, yeah, whatever. And then there's a machlokes, do you write with an ayin? When I was in Smicha, right, Bleich taught this, and he once gave us an article. I've mentioned this before. He gave us this article called Tshuvot Me'achorei Mesech HaBarzel, which literally means, right, Tshuvot from behind the Iron Curtain, which sounds like really fascinating, right? Like, what shailas are there behind the Iron Curtain? And then it turned out that it was an article about how do you spell this, like, 45-letter Russian river in proper transliteration, and where do you put the vavs, and where do you put the olives, and what if one of the rivers dried up? Do you still have to... It was, like, the most painfully technical article I've ever read. But anyways, so the Or Zeruah was really inspired by this, so he called, because he now knew how to spell Akiva, so he renamed his book Akiva, right, Or Zeruah after that. And his son named his sefer what? No, he says with a hey, because Or Zeruah Tzadik Yerushalayim Simcha is Sofei Tevet Rabbi Akiva with a hey. Okay, this is really not what I want to give Shiran, but it's important that you know that. Great. So his son, Reb Chaim Or Zeruah, writes on this based on our Gemara. But before we look at our Gemara, there's one more Gemara you have to look at. So look at the last WhatsApp that I sent you, right before Rishmol David's WhatsApp. This is the Gemara in Kiddushin, okay? So the Gemara in Kiddushin says as follows. Lamula, right? One of the mitzvah that a father has on his son is to give him a mila. Minalan, how do you know? Dichtiv, vayimal Avraham et Yitzchak. But no, because Avram gave a mila to his son Yitzchak. So you see, it's a father's obligation towards his son. Vehechad lo male avua, mechayvi beidina lememale. If the father doesn't give his son circumcision, so then the bezdin has to. Dichtiv him olachem kol zachar, because it says, you shall give all males a bris milah. V'heichad lo milah beidina. And if the bezdin didn't do it, mechayiv ihu lememal nafshe. He has to give it himself a bris milah. Dichtiv, v'ral zachar asher lo imol b'sar lo ato v'nicharta. Because it says that any male doesn't have a milah, he will get kares. How do you know that a mother is not obligated? Dichtiv kasher tziva oto elohim oto velo ta. And then the Gemara goes on. Okay, now from this Gemara, what would you have said? Do you think it's a... What do you think? Do you have any indication? Maisa, Totsah, what do you think?
It seems like a Masa, because everyone has... You could go both ways.
So what proof do we have? So the Marach Or Zeruah tries to prove it from our Gemara. So if you look at what I sent you, Tshuva Yud Aleph in the Marach Or Zeruah, he writes, "Umeinyan hamila nira de'ein ha'av chayev lamol b'no b'yadav el lasok she'enimo." So he says, first comes right. He said, "I think that this question is related to another question, which is the father's obligation to do the mila or to make sure that his son gets a mila, which you might have argued is dependent on this, right? Because you could formulate the fact that you can hire a moel in one of two ways." You could either say you can hire a moel because he's a shliach in the maisa, or you could say that you don't need him to be a shliach because the mitzvah isn't to do the mila, it's to ensure that someone is nimo, right? To bring about a totzah, to bring about a chalos of being nimo. So he says, I think that the mitzvah is not to be mal, right, to give a mila, but to make sure that someone is nimol. Dum do cholhani dechashav hasam lo lam do torah lam do umnas lo shita benahar v'chilo yeshker malamed levinol the torah v'cholhani v'sukos etc. Right, said like all of these, you can hire someone to teach Torah. Skipping down, says el kolhani ikar mitzvasan ena haasiyah. In all these mitzvos, the act is not the main thing. El shamila chatuma b'vsaro. The mitzvah isn't the maisa mila, it's that
you have the circumcision.
Right? The mila is chatum, is sealed into your skin. And he argues That's the common denominator, actually, in all of the mitzvah in our Gemara. That tefillin isn't just a ma'isa mitzvah. The Rav has a bit piece on this. That by tefillin there's a mitzvah of a chalos of being me'utaf in tefillin. And of tzitzis. It's a good question. But he says, and how do I know? She'im lo king David ha-melech alav ha-lashom she'im itztarek she'nichon zamer chazrav atzmarim belo mitzvah nizkar la'milah. V'im lo mitzvah z'milah ela ha-siyah. He said, how was David happy about the bris milah? If it's just a once in a lifetime mitzvah rather than a chalos, so then he wasn't wearing it. He wasn't performing it. He says it's a constant state of a mitzvah, just like tzitzis and tefillin, where we say it's not just putting on, but being in a state of wearing tefillin is a mitzvah. Right? Being milad, right? Being a circumcised is a chalos. It's a constant status, just like at every moment that I wear tzitzis or tefillin, it's a mitzvah. Right? The mitzvah by tzitzis and tefillin is, one second, the mitzvah of tzitzis and tefillin is not just to put them on, but to be wearing them. So he argues that the mitzvah is to be nimol. Right? To be nimol, it's a chalos of being nimol. That is chasum bivsaro. And he says, I'll prove it to you. Because what would happen, he said, if you think that it's a ma'isa mitzvah, and therefore the only reason you can hire a mo'el is because it's a shliach, what would happen if someone would jump in and give the milah without the permission of the father? So if the mitzvah is the ma'isa mitzvah, what would you say? It doesn't count.
It wasn't a shliach.
What's the nafkamina? As you'd say, there's no nafkamina. What are you going to do now? He doesn't have an erla. So what's the answer?
Well, it would apply to Korum Pesach.
No, what does he say? Dam bris. Just like a ger who already was circumcised as a guy. If he wants to convert, what does he need? You have to draw blood from that part of the body. It's called hatafat dam bris. It's called, right?
If you're born without it.
If you're born without it, or you had circumcision, you know, as a guy, you know, medical circumcision, and then you decide to convert, you have to draw blood because you need a maisa, which is called a vamila.
Do 30-year-olds who convert to?
Correct. I mentioned to some of my guys that there's a play.
I have a classmate who went through that. And
yeah,
yeah,
I said I had.
It was really painful.
There's a play, guys. There's a play by a person named Yisrael Campbell called "Circumcise Me," which is about his life story, where he's converted three times. He converted Reform, and then he became conservative and converted conservative, and then he converted, then he became Orthodox and converted Orthodox, and he had to have atafas dam bris three times.
Right? Wait, he was already circumcised before.
I forget, it was either bris once and atafas dam bris twice, or he was already medically circumcised and needed atafas bris three times. I forget how it worked, but he went through this process three times, right? Because that's what you need, is a tafas dam bris. He says, if you think it's a ma'isa mitzvah, not a status, so then what does that mean? You need a formal shliach. No, he's a comedian, right? His wife is a Rosh Hashifa. He is a comedian, right? His wife might have given a shir like that, right? His wife, Avital Hochstein Campbell, used to be the Rosh Kolel in Pardes, which is like a non-denominational or multi-denominational, like Torah place in Yerushalayim, and then now she's the head of like one of the Rosh Yeshiva thing of Hadar, which is post-denominational halachic egalitarian. I'm not even going to try to figure out what that means, but Lemaisa, she knows enough Torah. She might have given this year. He's a comedian by profession. It's a very funny play. I went when I was in YU as part of the class. Yes, I went as part of a class. We had an advanced seminar on conversion and apostasy with Professor Chaviva Levine, and she brought us the first week of school to this play. And it was interesting because mostly it's clean, but there are a few moments where the humor is a bit not clean. But I was sitting next to her husband, who's also a Rosh Yeshiva at YU, Rabbi Jeremy Weider, and my parents decided to come to the play also. So it was like a little bit of an awkward situation. I'm sitting next to Rosh Yeshiva and my parents, and there's like awkward. It was very, anyways. But it was a funny play. But his point is that if you think it's a ma'isa mitzvah, So then, either the father needs to do the milah or his shliach. Right? Just like I can appoint a shliach for any ma'isa mitzvah. But that means that if someone jumped in and did the milah, it wouldn't count. And you need that davas dam bris. But if you think the ma'isa is not a ma'isa mitzvah, it's a mitzvah bitotza'ah, to be nimol, to have a chalos of being nimol. Similar to, it's a mitzvah to wear tzitzis rather than put them on. And to be wearing tefillin rather than put them on. Right? The Rav has this lamdus that the mitzvah of lehaniach is on the ma'isa mitzvah, but the mitzvah of the bracha of al mitzvahs tefillin is on the chalos of wearing tefillin. Right? This is the Rav's argument of why there are two brachos. One is on the ma'isa, one's on the chalos. What? And that's why, right? You say al mitzvahs after you put on both, right? That's how you justify the Ashkenazi minhag and lamdus, right? That's what he argues. So the Maharaj Harzua says the same thing is true of bris milah. Because he says in a different one, like by truma, right? If someone gives truma on my behalf and I don't send him a shliach, what's the halacha?
You have to separate again.
You have to separate again. It doesn't count, right? That's what's normally true of ma'isa mitzvahs. And therefore, he says later on, Elavada ina avchayev lamulu biyad biyadol shis al sik shibano nom nimol vein laharich. And therefore, he says it must be that the nature of the mitzvah is not a ma'isa mitzvah; it's a mitzvah be to tsa. And he has another proof, and he says, "I'll give you another proof." And he says, "That's why that if a father isn't mal his child, he can't eat of the carbon pesach, right? Because it's not." Right, meaning he's saying, because it's a constant mitzvah to ensure that your son is in this state, and if you're derelict, right, so it's not just that I'm lacking in a ma'isa mitzvah, it's that I'm lacking, right, like there's like a chalos that's missing, right, it's not, and that type of thing, so he takes as a raya, that the father is constantly obligated to ensure that his son is of a certain chalos, right, that he's nimol, and that's why David HaMelech could celebrate that he's being mekayim the ma'isa ha-mitzvah, even though he's doing nothing, and he did his bris milah when he was 8 days old, that's enough. And it turns out that this is a machlokas Rambam Raifid. So if you open your Rambam, since you all have Rambams. So the Rambam in the first halach, the first two halachos of Hilchos Milah. And it's an interesting machlokes Rambam Ravid because you what the first two halachos in Hilchos Milah. Hilchos Milah. So we know that Milah is one of the two mitzvahs in the Torah that if you aren't mekayim it, what's the punishment?
Kares.
So if I asked you when do you become chayiv kares for not performing a bris milah, what are the possibilities? Bar mitzvah or whatever, right? Or when you die, right? When you die, right? Now, what would that depend on? I mean, what would you say, right? Well, think about it. I mean, because what would you say? If what? Now help me here. If what? If the mitzvah is to perform the bris milah, so when do you become chayiv kares?
When?
At death. Meaning, if I was never makayim the mitzvah, so then I'm chayiv kares. And until then, it's not kares, I was just ma'achar the mitzvah. I shouldn't do it. But as long as I did it by the end, I performed the ma'isa mitzvah. But if you think that it's a mitzvah to be nimol, then can I make up for the fact that I did the bris milah at the end of my life by not doing it earlier?
Yeah.
No! Because I had many years of being in the chalos shame arel, rather than a chalos shame nemo, right? Being a status of an uncircumcised person rather than circumcised. And that status is what is mechayev kares. So you have this very strange machlokes. You find it yet? Got it?
You said mitzvah?
No, Mila. Mila, bris Mila.
I thought it was No, Mila. What?
Mila, page 211.
Right, so look at this. So page 211, right? Perek Aleph Hilchos Mila. The Rambam writes, Milas Mila mitzvahs aseh shechayavin al karish. And Amar v'arel zachar shalol yimol is besar lasov v'nechasa nefesh ha-mi me'amea. Right, Mila is one of the positive commandments for not performing it, your chayav karish. U'mitzvah la'av la'molas b'no, v'alarav la'molas avadav. And a father has to give a bris Mila to his son, a master to his servants, his slaves. He led by his miknas kesef. But even if you're derelict and you don't give a bris milah to your son or to your slaves, it's usher, but it's not kares. Kares is for the one who doesn't have a bris milah. Okay, now halacha bet. Ein malin bino shel adam shelo midaito, elem kein avar v'nimna lamulo shebezden malin oso bal karcho. You're not allowed to give someone a milah without permission. And
except
but we force the father, right? Or we force the person to get a mila. And if the bezdin doesn't give him a mila, he has to give himself a mila. But here's the important line. And every day that he has that he's not nimol, he's mevatel mitzvah sase every day. But he's only chayiv kares once he dies as an arel. The Ravid writes, "Ein bazet tavlin." It's wrong. The chimishum asra is safek potronosam in neshamayim. V'chol yom omi biser kares. He says it's not true. You're chayiv kares every single day. Your chayiv kares every single day. So, what's the machlokes Rambam Ravid?
My search, what's up?
Right, the Rambam, and think about it, what was the nafkamina? Right, remember the nafkamina? So of the Machor Zeruah?
Didn't the Maisar, the Gav.
Right, yes, and he said, and the nafkamina is, do you need permission from the father? And what does the Rambam say? You need permission from the father. Now, I don't know if he would go as far as to say it won't count without the father. Right? But he says, why do you need permission from the father? So I don't know if he would go that far. Right? But why does he say, why can't you do it? Because he thinks it's a maisa mitzvah. And therefore it's about shlichus. Right? And therefore he says, when do you become kayev kares? He says, obviously it's aser to go a day without mila because you mevatel mitzvah zaseh. Every day it's omid lecha. But as long as you did it by the end of your life, you weren't kayev kares because in the end of the day, you died having done the Maisa Mitzvah. But the Ravid says, no, you're Chayiv Kares, whatever that means. Whatever it means, you can be Chayiv Kares every day. But he says, you're Chayiv Kares every day. And the only reason we don't punish you is because that's Rastafik. Right, whatever. But he says, the other way around. He says, the Rambam seems to think the only reason you're not punished is because of Rastafik. Because you don't know if he'll ever get around to not giving Mila. He says, Nama Mapitom. Right? You're chayiv every single day. It's a constant Isser Kares. It's a new Isser Kares. What do you mean it's a new Isser Kares? So it's, right? Why? Because the Rambam seems to hold that the mitzvah is the Maisa mitzvah. And therefore, as long as I die having performed the mitzvah, I can't be chayiv Kares. Obviously, it's usher for me to delay. Because I was chayiv to do it years ago and I'm delaying it. That's a problem. But be'ikaron, if I die having done Mila on the last day of my life, so what Isser did I violate? I violated the Isser of delaying when I should have performed the mitzvah. But I performed the mitzvah at the end of the day. I wasn't Chayiv Kares. Chayiv Kares is only if I was Mevatel the mitzvah my entire life. But the Ravid says, no. Every day, I'm Chayiv Kares. How could you be Chayiv Kares every day? And the answer is, because the problem for him is, the Isser is to be in a status of being an RL, and the mitzvah is to be Nimol. And therefore, every day that I avoid becoming a nimol and I stand as an arel, I'm chayiv kares. Again, what does that mean? Because right, kares, well, what does kares mean, right? That I'll die by 50, I'll die by 60, that young kids will die, I want to be chelik and olam haba. Different kares mean different things. I don't want to try to figure out what it means to be chayiv kares every day, right?
I, and the thing about, you know, dying early and dying doesn't correct. Always happen. I mean, some people...
Correct, and that's why I don't want to get into what this means theologically, but lundishly, right, it says, Yechayv Karis every day, and it seems to be that the machlokus is that the Rambam holds the Maisa mitzvah, and therefore I'm only Chayv Karis if I never perform the Maisa. And the Rav, it says, no, the mitzvah is to be an Emel rather than an Arel, and therefore every day that I avoid being an being a Nimal, and I continue in the status of an Arel, I'm Chayv Kares daily. And I gave you, what I sent you was a few of the Achronim who addressed this basic point, but this is the main Lumdus. Like I said, this is like a pretty straightforward, like one Chakira, right, which emerged in the Sugya, but if you look at the Minchas Chinuch, right, that I sent you, the Minchas Chinuch says, what is going on here?
I don't know.
I'm just trying to, there you go. Minchas Chinuch says, Visagi b'tshuva, lahavi olav, olav chaperez, lahavi asin. So he quotes the Rambam and the Ravid. And therefore he gives you another nafkamina. And he says, what would happen according to the Rambam if the following? What would happen if someone was amazed? We don't have to read it inside, but now you have it. So what happens if you were amazed your whole life? You refused to have a bris mila. And then the last day of your life, you decided to get a bris mila? And then, Rachmana Litzlan, this Rasha gets into a car accident and dies before he has a bris mila. Is he chayev kares? So he says, according to the Rambam, what do you think?
Yes.
No! Because he says, what? According to the Rambam, it's a maisa mitzvah. You're only chayev kares if you never perform the maisa mitzvah. And if the end of your life, you're about to do the mila, and then you were prevented by anus, so you're an onus in performing the maisa mitzvah, so you're not chayev kares.
That's crazy.
Right? But, right, that's what he thinks would be Yotzei, right, and he quotes this from the Beis Yosef, quoting the Nemuke Yosef, that for a din of Ones Labasov, right, he said it may depend on other sugya, which I don't want to get into, which is whether someone who's Tchilas Omeziv is Sofo Onos, whether it's called Onos Linyan Tfila, right? This is a machlokas in Tfila, right? If I avoid davening until the last minute and then I fall asleep 5 minutes before the Zman, is that considered mazid and therefore I'm not allowed to do tashlumen? Or is that considered anus because at the last moment I was anus and therefore I can do tashlumen? This is a machlokas, the Beis Yosef quotes from the Nukei Yosef. So he said, maybe this depends on this. But he says, fundamentally, it sounds like, according to the Rambam, you wouldn't be chayev kares because the Rambam thinks that the mitzvah is the maisa mitzvah. And therefore, if the last moment I meant to perform the mitzvah, I'm anus, so memela, I'm anus, I'm not chayev kares. And then he gets into the question, will tshuva help, right, for not having mila? And he gets into the possibility that maybe this depends on whether it's the minachamurim, but fundamentally he says, right, that should be a nafkamina of this this question. Yeah, right. So again, so according to the Rambam, if you think it's about a Maisa Mitzvah, you would say that if his entire life he avoided having a mila, but at the end he tries to do it, but then he's anus for whatever reason, right, he won't be punished. But according to the Ravid, he would be. Now, the Chazon Ish argues on this nafkamina, and that's why I sent you the link here from the Chazon Ish. Right? The Chazon Ish is not convinced that this is true, that this would be a nafkamina, and he thinks that maybe the Rambam, even the Rambam would be moda, that in such a case, you'd be chayev kares. I mean, his argument is as follows. Let me just get you the. Let me read the line. Shlichus anus. Ah, His argument is basically not that the Rambam doesn't hold that it's a mitzvah in the Maisa. He just questions whether you can really call someone anus if he was mazed his whole life and then the last minute, right? He's anus, right? Can you really say that that person is anus, right? So the Chazon Ish is not convinced of this nafkamina. And this is what he says: the moda harambam sheim nenas acher sheavar b'mezid kagon shenichras agid or shenasa cholish yefshar lamolo shchayev kar shegvar gomar chato dimloken milshachzid kar laolam sheri b'shashu goes to anus. And he says he just has the following logic, which is: look, everyone is an anus at the very last second of his life, right? When someone is a goses, right? He can't right, like at that moment where if you touched him, he would die. Right, those last few seconds, it's called a goses.
Okay.
Right? He says, at that moment, no one could perform bris milah because you're not allowed to touch him. So what are you going to tell me? Oh, every person, right? He was amazed his whole life, but the last moment he's a gosei, so he's an anus, never chayev kar. He says, obviously the Rambam is going to say that if someone is amazed, and then he's an anus, even according to the Rambam, you might argue...
Maybe it'd be a situation where you were...
Correct. I'm not convinced of the Chazon Ish, because you could have just said, no... If you're an anus, but you had no intention of being a kayim mila anyways, so then you're chayiv kares. The only case that Minchas Chinuch would be arguing is in a case where you tried to do it, right? You were driving to get a bris mila, and then right, the guy was driving to get a bris mila, and he got into a car accident and died, right? That would be the case, right? So I think you could come up with it and defend this notion and say, no, it's not about being anus. It's being anus when you actually had intention to be mekayim bris mila. And that's what you would say. So I'm not convinced by the Chazon Ish's point, but fundamentally, Minchas Chinuch argues that again, according to the Rambam, that the mitzvah is a ma'isa mitzvah. So then, if you avoid the ma'isa mitzvah until mezid, but then the last minute you want to do it, but you're held back by anus, so you're patur from kares. But according to the Rambam, it would not be true because you had all those moments at which you weren't nimol b'mezid. And if you're already chayiv kares, the fact that right now I'm not chayiv kares for avoiding it now because I'm an anus doesn't change the fact that earlier in my life when I insisted on maintaining the status of orel, that I was already chayiv kares. Now again, it could be that this would shed light on what we said on the people who had epispasms, right? Because according to the Rambam, you'd have to say the reason having an epispasm is so bad is not because it's an attempt to be mevatel the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is done. It was a Maisa mitzvah. It's because of the theology behind it. Right? That I'm showing that I'm shunning the Maisa of the Mila. But according to Ravid, you could say even more, which is, if the mitzvah is to be Nimol, right, then attempting to mivatel, to make myself look like an Arel is actually messing with the Chalos Shem Nimol.
And you become Chayav Kares for
it. Right? Again, whether you think this actually, even with the Ravid, you have to say, does this actually reverse Mila? Am I actually now an RL if it looks like I have an RL? Yesh ladun. But you could say that for the Raiva, the reason it's so bad is because the mitzvah is to be a Nimol, not an RL, and you're trying to make yourself into an RL. That's why it's so bad. Not just because of what it reflects theologically, because actually you're trying to mevatel the chalos ha-mitzvah, which for the Raiva is the mitzvah. Right? Is the state of being Nimol, not be RL. And that's, I think, for the Raiva, why it would be dafka. So bad. Now the Turi Evan, I'll just end with this, gives one more possibility. And he says maybe the Chiyuv Kares comes from the decision to never have the Mila. Right? He quotes the Machlokas Rambam Raiva and he says, I have a third possibility, which is to say neither that you're Chayiv Kares every day, nor are you only Chayiv Kares when you die. Right, he says you could argue that it's a Maisa Mitzvah like the Rambam, but say that you become Chayiv Kares when you decide that you're never going to get a Mila. Right, and that's enough to say that you're being Mavatal the Mitzvah. Right? The Rambam seems to think that not only is it a Maisa Mitzvah, but you only are considered having fully been Mavatal the Mitzvah if you die without the possibility. The Turi Evan says, I have a middle position for you, which is it's a Mitzvah of a Maisa Mitzvah, but the Chayiv Kares comes from actively deciding that you're never going to get a Mila.
Well, what if your entire life you just push it off?
No, so correct. So that could be, right, what the Rambam's talking about. But he says, I have this middle position, that maybe the Kares isn't dying without the possibility, but is deciding that you're not going to do the Maisa Mitzvah, and that's what that's what brings on the Chiyuv Kares. Again, that's fundamentally agreeing with the Rambam that it's a Maisa Mitzvah. He just argues on the Pratim, which is that the Chiyuv Kares doesn't come from the physical impossibility of performing Milah, but from the decision to never perform the Maisa Mitzvah. But again, all of this, the reason that we came into this is because it all really comes from how do you understand this sugya of Dovra Melech. Right, just to remind you why this was a Menachos sugya. Right, that the Marachor Zerua claims that this sugya is a proof for the Ravid, that it's about the status of being Nimol, and that's why David HaMelech could say, I am currently being performed the mitzvah of Milan, that's why I'm not naked from mitzvos.
How does Rambam read
the so how would the Rambam defend it? What you have to say is that according to the Rambam, it wasn't that David HaMelech was saying, I'm naked from performing mitzvos. Right, per se. Right, the Agadata is, I feel like, right, naked of being connected to God or something like that. And the fact that I recognize that I'm constantly, right, it's not that, yes, I'm being mekayem the mitzvah of Milah now, right? The Rambam would have to argue, no. First of all, he'd just say it's an agadata. But he'd say, at any rate, he'd say, no, the point is that the fact that it reminds me that I'm connected to God, that I performed this mitzvah, that I entered into a bris, is enough to say that I'm still connected to God, even if I'm not performing the formal mitzvah now. Right? The point is not am I performing a formal mitzvah, it's am I connected to God? And yes, well...
You can do mitzvah in a bathhouse.
Yeah, but you can think about God, right? Yeah.
In a bathroom?
Yeah, Avas Hashem, you could say that by looking at the Milo, he remembered he's connected to God. He's Mekayim Mitzvahs Avas Hashem. I don't know, come up with some formulation. But that's how the Rambam is going to defend it. He's going to say, this is not about formally am I performing mitzvos, it's am I connected to God? And the answer is, even when I'm in a bathhouse and not performing a Maisa Mitzvah, the fact that I am in a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's enough. Now, of course, there is one more possibility, Lamdish possibility, which is to say, Sveidinim. Right? Which is to say, there's a mitzvah to perform the bris Milah, but there's also a status of being Nimol. And now, I'm not sure, this sounds like something the Rav would have said, right? But at the moment, I don't remember if it was the Rav or I just heard it from someone when I was in YU, right? You could argue that this two, that really it's Svei Dinim, and that's why there are two brachos on Bris Milah. There's the bracha that the Moel makes, which is... Alam Milah.
Fine. Oh.
Right?
Okay.
Right? And what's the bracha that the father makes, even if he's not doing the milah? L'hachniso bevriso shel Avram Avinu. Right? To bring him into the covenant of Avram Avinu. And I definitely remember someone saying, it definitely sounds like something the Rav would have said. Whether I'm quoting it from the Rav now, I don't know, so I can't promise. Right? Which is maybe the answer for the Rambam is not just, oh, agadically, I'm connected to God, but maybe the Rambam would say, there's Tzvei Dinim, there's a Maisa Mitzvah Bris Milah, but there is also a chalos of being Nimol, and that's called being Bebriso Shel Avram Avinu. And that's why you have two brachos. Right? You have the bracha of Alam Milah on the Maisa Mitzvah, and you're the bracha lachnizu riso shel Avram Avinu of entering into the chalos of being nimol, of being part of the bris of Avram Avinu. I think, is that the Rav's word? Right, the two brachot on Milah. Do you remember this? You know this? I think it's from the Rav, but I'm not sure. Right, the bracha of Al Hamila is on the Maisa Mitzvah, and lachnizu riso shel Avram Avinu is the chalos of being nimol and in the bris, or that it's tzvei dinim. It's the Rav, right?
So, parallel to tefillin.
Correct, exactly what the Rav says by tefillin, which is that lehaniach tefillin is the Maisa Mitzvah, and al mitzvah tefillin is the chalos of being, of wearing tefillin, right? So, again, I think it's the Rav. I'm pretty sure. I'm sure David also thinks it's the Rav, right? And if that's the case, then you would have an answer for the Rambam, right? Because you would say, for the Rambam, the Maisa Mitzvah is having the bris. The Chiyuv Kares comes from... From the Maisa Mitzvah. That's why he says you're not chayv until your death. No. But he doesn't argue with the Ravid. Meaning, until now, we've been assuming the Rambam holds is only a Maisa Mitzvah, and the Ravid holds is only a status of being Nemo. But it could be that the Rambam thinks that there's a Maisa Mitzvah, and the Chiyuv Kares only comes from being Mavato, the Maisa Mitzvah, but he doesn't argue with the Ravid that there is a Chalos of being Nemo, which is also part of the Mitzvah. He just doesn't think that the Chiyuv Kares comes from that. He thinks that the Chiyuv Kares comes from the Maisa Mitzvah. And therefore, you would argue, so how would he deal with the Agadata Davra Melech? He would say, in a Chanami, the Maisa Mitzvah was done all the way when he was a child. But there is a Chalos of being Nimol, Right? And that is also part of the mitzvah. And that he was being mekayim. And again, that is, like the Rav argues by the two brachot of al mitzvah tefillin, laniach tefillin, right? I think it was the Rav who argued the same thing, that al mitzvah, al mitzvah's milah, right? The mitzvah that the mohel makes, or whoever does the milah makes, is the bracha on the maisa, and the richa v'lahachniso is on the status. Let me just see if I can find it. And check if it is. Right. Right. And that's why he. Right. So I have it here. Right now. Yeah, the right. The other part of this is right. Is what the. Right. So I remember, as Shmuel David said, I can't find the exact quote, but the Rav also argued, what was it, that the bracha of Alamila is made before the Maisa of the Mila, but Lachniso is done before is said before the Priya, right? Because there's two parts to the Maisa of Bris Mila, right? It's first you cut off the Arla and then you pull back, right? Whatever right sort of residual skin is left, you pull it back, right? That's the Priya. And the Rav argued that the Priya, right, the Chiyuv of not just cutting off the Arla, but remove, right, of clearing off the skin, essentially, that is the Chalos of being Nemo, which is Briso Shel Avram Avinu. So the father makes the bracha on the Chalos of Lachniso after the Maisa Mitzvah of the Mila, but before the Priya. Right? Because the mitzvah of the chalos is on the Priya of being Nimol, which is only fully complete when you do the Priya and you pull away the extra skin. Right. I'm pretty sure I can find this, but well, I said at the beginning of the shir, it wasn't like Miso and Priya. Okay, I can't find the quote. If I find the quote, I'll give it to you. But again, right, that's the possibility. It's to say that really it's Tzvei Dinim. That again, the Rambam thinks the Maisa Mitzvah is what is Mechayev the Kares. Right? And that's why you're not Chayev Kares until the end of your life. But he doesn't argue with the Raiva that there is also a Mitzvah B'Totzah, or the status of being Nimol. Right? And he thinks that that's how we explain the David HaMelech Gemara. That's how we explain the two brachos of Lehachniso versus Al HaMila. And maybe even that's the difference between Mila and Priya. That the Mila is obviously the Maisa Mitzvah, and that's why you make the bracha of Al HaMila before that. But you make Lehachniso before the Priya, which is about the status of being Nemo, of clearing off the skin, to making sure that not only did you cut off the Olah, that the person is completely Nemo. Right, which is this chalos. And that is the way the Rav deals. And again, this all, I know it seems like an agadic passage, but the lumdus that emerges from it is very fundamental to the nature of the mitzvah of Mila. Okay.